I'm just going to say a few things before we start. So first of all, so sit easy because I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes and don't strain yourself, just sit at ease. Some practical things first of all. And first of all, this morning we're going to introduce walking meditation. I know it's a bit wet outside, but it's not too bad. I've walked up the lane and it's okay. So wrap up warm, get some waterproof gear if you're here, and we'll do some walking meditation. So the way we'll do it is at the end of the mindfulness of breathing, I'll ring three bells for the end, and then I'll ring another bell, and I'll get up and leave and go out. And after 20 minutes, I'll come back and we'll set up for the just sitting, and I'll ring a gong so that you people who aren't actually here can actually hear that. So it'll be 20 minutes of walking, and then we'll come back and we'll set up for the just sitting practice. And if you're at home, maybe just find somewhere you can walk up and down, or what I find very good, if your room's big enough, just walk around the room, you know, in front of the shrine. And the object of the practice is just to stay present with your experience. So you're bringing your awareness just to a very simple act of walking. You could say it's just walking. And you're letting go of thoughts and coming back to the present experience again and again. And it works very well with the just sitting practice. They complement each other. So see how you get on with that. And this afternoon, Padmasagara is going to start reading the Diamond Sutra, and maybe I'll say a few words about that this afternoon, and we'll just sit and listen and be receptive to the words of the Diamond Sutra. And this evening, Padmavadra is going to give a talk on the Diamond Sutra at 8 o'clock, and it's the first of two talks that he's going to give. The other talk is going to be on Wednesday evening, so that's a real treat. And this evening also we're starting meditation reviews, and that's just a 10-minute meeting with one of the people on the teaching team here, and it's just a chance for you to objectify what's happening in your meditation practice. And we may just listen, or we may have some comments, but don't make it too big a deal. But at the same time, do just reflect on your practice and think about what's significant and what you want to bring to the review. But don't spend all your time in meditation working out what you're going to say in the meditation review, because that would rather defeat the purpose of the object. So turn up in good time. Be ready so Arvid or Sachikoji can let you in. Turn up before the time so you're ready to go in, because they're very short, and it's quite difficult if you're doing the reviews and people turn up late because you don't know quite what's happening. So make sure you turn up first and turn up in good time for the reviews, and be ready to start when Arvid or Sachikoti lets you in. And remember that the person for you might finish a bit early, so be there in good time. Say try to be there 10 minutes beforehand for the review. And check what time you have, because a number of people turned up at much too early last night. So check on the programme what time your review is actually, and which night it is as well. Good. Okay. I want to say something about effort. So this is something that comes up every time we do a meditation retreat, and it came up in our discussion group last night, and it's absolutely crucial to meditation. I think it's the most crucial factor in a way, that you use the right sort of effort. And what I want to say first of all is that in just sitting, the main effort that you're making, it's a bit different from the other practices, the main effort you're making in just sitting is to come back to your immediate experience. So your focus is your whole experience. So you drift off, you come back. You drift off, you come back to your immediate experience. And you keep coming back, and you get into a habit of coming back. But it's important you come back gently and patiently to your experience, whatever that experience is. Don't be judgmental about your experience. I was reading this morning in the Zen tradition. They talk about the clear blue sky, and in the Zen tradition, you have the clear blue sky, and you have all these clouds, wispy clouds, but probably in our case at the moment, dense fog, passing across the clear blue sky. You don't follow it, but also you're aware that above the clouds, there's just pure clear blue sky, and in a way, that's our Shraddha. That's our connection with the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, manifesting in the clear blue sky. So you have Shraddha, that if you come back to your experience, you'll start to connect more and more deeply with something richer and richer. But you just keep coming back. So Pranyaridaya reminded me of something I said on a previous retreat last night in the group. And I said that very often our effort is too forced, too narrow, and too coarse. Too forced, too narrow, and too coarse. And what we need to do is make our effort relaxed, broad, and subtle. Relaxed, broad, and subtle. And someone once said that, you know, sometimes we try to force ourselves in meditation, and they expressed it as grasping fueled by expectations. So that's what at worst our meditation can be like, grasping fueled by expectations. So we might have all sorts of expectations about the retreat, about our meditation practice. We have to stop grasping after our experience being a particular way. We have to be open to our experience unfolding from where we are, and just letting it unfold quite naturally. And if you do grasp after expectations, you miss an awful lot, because you've already got an idea about how you're going to be, and you're always operating within the known, and you're never open to the unknown. There's an expression in Zen which I think is very good, and it's called, opening the hand of thought. So it's as if our minds are quite sort of tense and closed up like a fist. And when you do just sitting practice, you're just opening that hand. You're opening the hand of thought, and you're opening to your experience. And I was thinking this morning, it's not unlike when we're just open with another person about ourselves. So if we completely open up to somebody else, we feel really good, and we feel really in touch with our experience, and really emotionally positive. So in a way, we've got to learn to do that with ourselves in meditation. We've got to learn to open to our experience, to open the hand of thought. At Vajraloka, we used to have a phrase which was willful insistence followed by willful resistance. So willful insistence followed by willful resistance. So if you do try to force the mind in a particular direction, if you narrow it down, then the mind will naturally spring back. The healthy mind is naturally curious, and the only way you can engage the mind is by engaging your interest in what's happening. So you need curiosity about what's actually happening in your actual experience. You need to become curious about that. And that means relaxing. It means relaxing your body, relaxing your mind, and relaxing your effort. And enjoying meditation for its own sake. Meditation's incredibly enjoyable. It's a sort of adventure, an inner adventure, and you just have to learn to enjoy it for its own sake, without grasping after results. And then, paradoxically, the results will come. And you need to broaden out. That involves involving more of ourselves, and a good habit is with the setting up, where at the beginning of the meditation, you open to your experience, you bring your awareness into your body, and you open to the rest of your experience. And you keep that openness all the way through the meditation. And particularly opening to our emotions. We need to engage our emotions. We need to engage more of ourselves with the meditation. We need to broaden out. And if we do all that, then our effort will become more subtle and freer and more receptive. So this will happen quite naturally as awareness develops. And these three, relaxing, broadening, and making the effort more subtle, they complement each other. So just bear those three in mind. Relaxing your effort, broadening your effort, and making your effort more subtle. And they'll complement each other, and they'll lead to the mind opening out and becoming absorbed. They support each other. Okay, so we're going to start by saluting the shrine, and then I'm going to read a couple of poems by Ryokan. And I always choose Ryokan on the winter retreats because it's very close to our experience. Everything is ordinary, and yet there's something extraordinary. There's a light of something extraordinary shining through the ordinary. And I remember Bhante saying that he thought Ryokan was the poet who expressed enlightenment the most, what the enlightened experience is like. It seems that the enlightened experience is like everything's ordinary, but there's something extraordinary shining through it, through everyday life. Enlightenment is to be found in here and now, in this very world.